PCR 16-20, resolution to the General Assembly to enact legislation authorizing the City of Warwick to issue general obligation bonds, notes, and other evidence of indebtedness to finance the construction, renovation, improvement, alteration, repair, furnishing, and equipping of schools and school facilities throughout the city to fund the capital improvement program for fiscal years 2020-2026. Councilman Sinapi.
This is a long-awaited phase two bond, and it's my understanding that the school department and the school committee have voted to actually reduce their request, so we need a motion from the committee.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I can't understand you.
This is the long-awaited phase two bond request for the K through eight grades and the buildings. And it's my understanding that the school department and the school committee have already requested that this be reduced to $56 million.
Councilman Sinapi, this request that you have here, let's assume that it gets approved. This is something that is going to have to end up on the ballot. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay, so your understanding is this is going to have to end up on the ballot, and is it also, it's my understanding anyways, I just want to make sure, you know, I'm on the same page here with you, is it also your understanding that when it goes on the ballot, that is something that the voters decide and determine whether or not they want to spend the money for this, right?
Unless I'm missing something, yes.
Okay.
Good evening, Phil Thornton.
Good evening, Superintendent.
Warwick Superintendent. Before I start, I do want to thank the council profoundly for, as you know, a while back you funded the dollars needed to do a study of the high school question. I want to just let you know that work did start last week. We had a two-day session with the educational planner. The team of 50-some-odd people included business leaders, teachers, parents, administrators, school board members, politicians. So real exciting work is happening on the high school question. I would tell you on the next benchmark for that is February 11th at the school committee, a brief report out, and February 12th at the Tollgate Cafeteria, we'll have an activity with the planner to do next steps. So that's really exciting work, and it is moving forward, so thank you for that. In terms of tonight, as you just heard, we're talking about a phase two bond request. It's essentially a K-8 conversation. As you hear a minute from Mr. Frucci and Mr. Gothberg with the details, essentially it captures the following areas in a nutshell. We have the remaining roofs for the schools in the district, and that's five roofs that have to be undertaken. We have HVAC or mechanical, or in other words, the heating and AC systems, and we have 13 of those to complete for the district. We have what's called building envelope, or the windows and the doors. As you know, in many cases, the windows are quite old. In many parts of Warwick, the windows have kind of oxidized over time and turned white, and you can't see out of them. So between the insulation properties and the visibility, we need work done on the windows and the doors. That's in this conversation. We have an abatement in this conversation. It's at Winman Middle School. Some of the tile is in need of replacement, and we have to abate. And as you'll see in a minute from Mr. Gothberg, the pricing is parceled out, some abatement costs and some costs for the tiles. Electrical in 18 locations, and we break it out on the following pages by outlet and by upgrade. It's all detailed there for you. Essentially, back in 1940, 1950, you might have had a 115-amp circuit in a classroom, and that was okay in 1940. That's not okay in 2020. So we have many electrical needs, and that's in this bond. Plumbing, around $200,000, not as large as the other numbers, but essentially we need hot water in some classrooms that require students to have access to hot water. And lastly, the last big idea is site work. Essentially, that would be the curbing, the paving. In many areas, like Holloman Elementary, like the road going to Scott Elementary up that hill, very problematic in terms of the paving. The curbing at some of the schools is crumbling. So that's all part of the site work conversation. So in all, it's a $56 million request to the council. And as you did mention, if it was to gain approval tonight in fiscal and in the open meeting, it would go to the State House for enabling legislation, and it would go then on the bond for the voters in the fall of 2020. So I have myself here tonight with Mr. Gothberg and Mr. Ferrucci to answer any questions you have on this. We're happy to move forward. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Ferrucci.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, everyone. While Superintendent Thornton gave us a recap of what you have on the table in front of you this evening, I wanted to let the public know on the aisles over here, we do have the detail of the type of projects. Feel free to grab a sheet and you can follow along, and it breaks it down project by building. But before I turn the mic over to Mr. Gothberg, who will speak to the actual projects and the details within the $56 million, I just want to take 2 minutes to step back for a moment. 2 years ago, we were before you seeking an $85 million bond from the voters. And at that time, we had records from SMMA and Jacobs reports telling us that our district faced somewhere in the neighborhood of $220 to $230 million worth of repairs that need to be taken on over a five-year window. From that conversation, we generated a priority list of $85 million, and we came before the City Council. City Council then authorized a $40 million bond, leaving $45 million for a phase two to be considered 2 years later. Back in July of 2019, the Building Committee was charged with taking that $45 million and reprioritizing and reconsidering if there were any budget implications. During those conversations and deliberations, there were a number of items that came to the forefront that needed to be addressed. In particular, heating systems at Tollgate and Windman became a problem and were identified. A $15.5 million issue that the district was wrestling with. The look at the number of roofs that were going to exceed their useful life now had come forward. $5.5 million worth of roofing were identified as additional need. The replacement of flooring at Windman Middle School, which is asbestos if you break it apart, is a $2 million initiative. The identification of building envelope projects that would have been enhancing the heating and the air conditioning qualities of our buildings came forward as 2.9. And then site paving and cost escalators were another 1.5 million. 20% on top of that for A&E, which is architect and engineering, and contingency fees. Collectively, the $45 million number had been bumped up to by $34.9 million, and there was a program that was adopted by the school committee in August of 2019 for $79.9 million. Those documents were circulated beginning in September. In October, the school committee revisited the $79.9 million capital plan. But during that time frame, the discussion of potentially a high school being built or something to do with the high school structure was brought forward, at which point a consultant was engaged, or actually an RFP went out for a consultant, an educational consultant, to look at our high schools in particular. That all took place this past fall. The contract has been awarded, and as the superintendent has stated, the consultant has gone and started his project. Moving forward, around the middle of January, there was discussion by the school committee for the building committee to reconsider the $79 million. And I bring that up this evening, folks, because I know there are documents that have been submitted to you folks by email. There's documents that had been submitted to City Hall Finance that started off at $79 million. So I want you to understand that we're working from that plan. On top of it, the $79 million plan has been submitted to the Rhode Island Department of Education for housing aid consideration. It was submitted as part of a stage one submission, which was required deadline was in September. So we did achieve that, and RIDE has before them a $79 million plan. So January 23rd, school committee, during their public meeting, had advocated that the building committee reconvene and consider other priorities given what's gone on for the last 2 to 3 months. The building committee met on January 27th, and a discussion ensued as to what's the priorities if we were to reduce the number from the $79 million to some other number. And the reality of what took place was that the full $79 million are all high-priority items. We already whittled from $200 million down to that number and identified a number of issues. What the building committee then really realized was with the educational consultant work that's being taken on and the timeline for the educational consultant's work to be completed sometime by mid-April, that it only made sense to the billing committee to say, putting dollars aside, since $79 million was the actual priority roster that we had generated over 6 months ago, that we were told, the, Mr. Gothberg, to go and just strip out the high school elements of the $79 million and put just that plan forward. Also during this meeting on January 27th, there were two or three items that had not been included in the $79 million that were considered beyond the scope of the $80 million going back to 6 or 7 months ago. But what it included was Warwick Neck's HVAC system was not included in our original plan. Also, the building envelope, to the extent that might be necessary at Windman Middle School, was not included in that $70 million plan. So those items were added. In total, we had a little over $55.6 million. That was a plan that was presented to the school committee on January 28th. At the meeting on January 28th, the school committee took the billing committee's recommended budget and said we need to round this to $56 million and that there's $320,000 of contingencies that we want to allocate to all the various projects at the elementary school. On the 29th of January, the document that you have before you is what's been created. And literally, it shows you the $79 million worth of projects. It color codes the types of projects that were recommended, and we codified in summary what the superintendent just mentioned this evening as to how we got to the $56 million. So you have before you the details of the program. I just wanted to put a perspective of how we got to this point this evening. We are referring to this since that the concept was to wait until we hear from the educational consultant in April as to what to do with the high school. And as a sidebar, the range has been, we've chopped about $25 million out of the $79 million as high school, so I would put that as the low end of what we would be staring at in April. Whatever renovations and the possibility of a new high school and all the things that have been talked about in the community over the last 3 to 4 months, I think will be captured in the April timeframe, and then we would wrestle with that as a possible second bond referendum come later, November 2020. So this evening, we're seeking your approval of a $56 million plan. It's one of the last steps of seeking housing aid for the stage one that we submitted last September. RIDE needs support from the city leadership that, in fact, we will move forward with a plan. So your authorization of the $56 million this evening will be submitted to RIDE. Our drop-dead date for them is February 17th. But we've been asking all documents to be in place by February 10th so we can collate it. We are working with somebody. It's a three-binder package, if you can only imagine, when you're seeking approval for $56 million worth of state aid support. State aid, 35% is the minimum contribution that we'd become eligible for. There are at least two incentives that we will be automatically qualifying for based on the types of projects. They're 5% per, so we are looking at least another 10% bump, so we're in 45%. There are some educational components, and there are some opportunities, depending on our efficiencies that we gain, that we may be able to pick up 2 or 3 more percentage points, 4 percentage points, to get us as close to 50% as possible. There has been some conversation about the possibility of maximizing and getting out, which would be to 52.5% under the new regs. That would require a closing of a building. So that conversation, I think, will be deferred until April. There is one building, if we went forward with a construction project at Pilgrim or Tollgate that allows us to close the Drumrock building educationally, that would then qualify us for another 5% incentive. So that's kind of been deferred. So in a scheme of 35 to 50% reimbursement is what we would be seeking from RIDE, and we will know that by early May. So that's the timeline, the schedule, how we started, how we got to here this evening. And again, I have Mr. Gothberg, if you want to go through any of the finer details with regards to the specific projects at the buildings. Thank you very much.
Mr. Frucci, thank you. Stay seated, Mike, if you would, please. So yeah, I'm familiar with the up to 52%. I'm familiar with the possibility of closing Drum Rock because, as you know, and superintendent knows, and council president knows, and I know, that was conversations we have a ride. And it was at their suggestion or recommendation of what to do to get us up to the 52.5%. It was a very productive meeting. Actually, we were in meetings and have been in meetings for quite some time now. So I would, let me rephrase, comfortable in hearing you say that you're going to defer the Drum Rock decision until April, because I wouldn't want to take an extra 15-20% on 56 mil when I can get it on 190 million. And I think that decision would certainly be warranted to hold that trump card until the very last minute. Now, if this 56 mil, if this were approved by this council and gets up to the General Assembly and they approve it, that's not going to prohibit us for coming back for approval for 190 million, just using a number, for a new school, correct?
That is correct. It will not.
And we will still be able to get up to a 52% return from the state?
That is correct.
Okay. And whether we do a $56 million bond on the 2020 ballot or a $76 million bond, and let's go all out and put a $190 million bond out there, ultimately the voters are going to tell us what they want us to do. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So what we are making, or possibly making the approval for, is to get it up to the General Assembly. They'll make their approval, hopefully, and then it goes to the voters. This isn't our decision that we're going to spend $56 million or $76 million or $190 million or a collection of all of them. What we're doing is our due diligence in getting it to the voters. Let the voters decide. Let the voters give us the direction as to what they want to do. Do they want to fix and continue fixing? Do they want to build new? So sign off, sign on, sign on, sign off. Bottom line is, all we're doing is we're asking the voters to make the decision. What do they want to do?
That's
is that
correct.
Correct?
That is correct.
So with the building envelope, we had, let me just preface this so everyone is clear. I, as a contractor, do not bid on any city work in a city of Warwick. So just so as we're all clear on that. On the building envelope, that, my understanding is going to include windows replacements in some of the buildings. How many buildings, Mr. Gothberg?
It's Steve Gothberg, Director of Construction for the school department. So we're looking at all the elementaries and both middle schools.
And from our numerous discussions regarding the windows for a long time, there was a significant payback to the taxpayers by taking out those single glazed garbage windows, because we save both elements. We save in the heating season, we save in the cooling season. And the savings or the rate of return on those windows is significant. And it's compared to what we have, to where we're going to go, it's going to rapidly get to that payback point.
in combination with the new HVAC systems we're proposing and the building envelopes, doors, the windows, yes, it would be substantial.
And we haven't mentioned increasing the comfort level inside the classroom, inside the office spaces. Those little things that sometimes we take for granted, that when the sun's pouring in the windows and you can't sit in a conference room because the heat is just pouring through those inefficient, unprotected windows, this will certainly make the classrooms a lot more comfortable for the students as well as the teachers that are in there doing their job.
Agreed.
As well the heating system and AC, et cetera. These buildings, these K through 8 facilities that you're going to be, or you're proposing to do these upgrades to, in doing these changes from the roofs to the HVAC to the envelope to the abatement, et cetera, have you or has any other professional done an analysis to project out the extended lifetime of these buildings and spending, in this case, say, the $56 million?
I don't think there has been an analysis, a professional analysis done by the architects, no, but they will last at least the length of the bond, 25 to 30 years, and extend the length of the buildings. Beyond that, I think you know that these buildings will then be, most of our buildings would be approaching 100 years old, so then a further conversation will have to happen after that.
So the bond is going to be 25 or 30 years. Do we know which one yet? It makes a big difference in the yearly payment.
I'm not sure what that is.
So let's take the low end. Let's say the 25-year. The expenditure of this $56 million bond over 25 years, if you break it down to the tax base, which is what, of course, is the major concern, how much does it cost the taxpayers? The number on the property value isn't quite as shocking as a $56 million bond, right?
Correct.
Mr. Ferrucci, do you have that number? How would this impact, given the fact that every million impacts us 10 cents?
Well, just
that's a year.
Just round numbers from where you have, Mr. Lattiser, I don't have that specific level of detail, but the city finance director was signaling me it's a 22-year payback. 22 years on a $56 million bond is approximately $2.5 million in principal. Of which the state is going to pay 50%. So we're staring at about $1.3 million with the interest on that particular, maybe staring at about $2 million of debt service over that time frame. What Mr. Gothberg missed the opportunity to mention as well is that our operational costs in the schools, because of the energy efficiencies, would be a payback that would relieve some of the pressure on our school operations as well. So, net number, I think your net cost on an annual basis, somewhere in the $1.5 million range. So I'm not sure how to back that back into what would the tax increase for $1.5 million be, but I believe that's a relatively small number.
I know somebody that can. You must be reading my mind.
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up after you. Councilman Lattiser, if I could follow up on the same line of questioning after you ask Brian your question.
Brian, could you give us that impact?
Certainly. And to clarify, I was given hand gestures. The amortization schedule will be 20 years, not 22.
20? Okay.
I'm not good at charades.
I liked what he said better, 25 to 30. I should have listened to him. Go ahead, Brian.
So I have run this two ways. As mentioned tonight previously, the city would be receiving a minimum of 35% reimbursement and up to 50%. So I have run an amortization schedule based on reimbursements of either methods, as we don't know at this time what the city would be receiving. I've also worked with our financial advisors. Obviously, some of these, the last drawdown would be in fiscal year 2026. So we had to make estimations. Obviously, we don't know what the rate's going to be at that time. So we If you'd like, I can go over some of the assumptions within the analysis, or if you'd like me to just get into the numbers, what's your pleasure?
I think for now, just give me simple.
Sure. I'm going to start with the 50%. I think that's a little more likely or close to it anyway. It sounds like we're in good shape to get to the 45, and we're going to get between, it sounds like we're going to be between 45 and 50, so I'll start with the 50% reimbursement. In the next fiscal year, based on the drawdowns that we've already done off of the current $40 million bond, the city will have on its general fund debt service payments next year totaling $6,365,000. That, again, is an estimation because we have not, the last bond that, the second drawdown of the $40 million bond that the city council just authorized recently, $6.8 million, we obviously haven't issued that debt yet, so I'm making an estimation on the rate on that as well. But approximately fiscal year 2021, total debt service of $6,365,000.
Brian.
Yes.
I think the Councilman Lattiser was asking is, what's the debt service on 56, your estimate on $56 million over 20 years?
Well, there's a layered in, as we're issuing new debt, we're not just issuing the $56 million in 1 year, so there's...
I agree, it's phased in over time.
Right, and okay. At the same time as we're phasing in the debt, we're also retiring other debt, so I was going to show the net impact
right.
on the...
So could you focus in on what we're voting on tonight? Mm-hmm. The debt service of $56 million. Yes. I realize that we retired debt for other things.
Yes.
But just to give us an idea of the impact of what we're doing tonight.
Sure. So within fiscal year 2022, we'd be looking at a projected debt service of, again, $6.3 million. It would be lower slightly in fiscal year 23, a little under $6.3 million, $6.2 and change.
Is this including the $40
million? That is including the $40
million? So I don't know if I'm making myself clear. Okay? So I'll make myself clear. What's the debt service on the $56 million that we're looking at?
The $40 million is going to be issued as well, though.
I understand that. I mean, we've already voted on that.
Right.
We're not.
Well,
I want
to
know, and we've already heard
well.
The numbers on the debt service for $40 million and what we've already done in the past. I get that.
We do still have, still have
so,
to vote on
so
future
So can
drawdowns.
You give me an answer for the 56, Brian, or you can't?
I did it as a sum because we still have future drawdowns as well of the 40. We've only done two. So actually, we've only done officially.
So you won't give me that number is what you're saying?
I did it on the remainder of the 40.
Will you give me that number on 56 or you won't? Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty simple question.
I did it off of the remainder, roughly $34 million of the $40 million bond and the 56, because both are going to be due issued over the next 6 years.
So we're going to vote on something, and we don't know what the impact of $56 million is on the budget. Do you want to lump in the bond referendums for sewer, too, or open space?
I was clearly stating that this is related to debt on the general
yeah,
fund.
Yeah, so I understand that. Okay. But what I don't understand is why you can't give us a number for a $56 million bond referendum just for tonight. What would the debt service be over 20 years? Or would you like us to calculate it ourselves? I think it's a fair question, don't you?
That remainder of the $40 million, $34 million, does impact the general fund. I assumed.
I understand.
You'd like to know the impact of
and
that
you
as
gave
well.
Us those numbers, okay? But to say that a vote on $56 million, you're going to give us the numbers on $90 million, right? $96 million, because you're including the $40 million we already did, isn't helpful.
You realize we still have to we still have to go
back.
I mean,
we still have to back out what
the
share
million.
Of the 56 is.
All that's been authorized from the city council on the $40 million so far is the first two drawdowns, and only one has actually been drawn down.
And you know what, Brian? And we don't have to, even though this council approves a bond referendum and it goes out to the voters and they approve it, as you just pointed out, we don't have to issue it at all. I mean, Mayor Avedisian froze the bond referendums for 5 or 6 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I want to know is what's the impact of $56 million, because we may or may not go out for a referendum on that. And if we do, we may or may not issue it, depending on the financial circumstances of the city and the school department. I get that, but I think, you know, I want to know what the 56 is. I mean, basically what you're saying is on $96 million, I guess phased in over 25 years because the other bond was, or 22 years because the other bond was issued last year. And the payments, I guess, would be made out over 7 years because I have to guess because you won't tell me. The $96 million and the $56 million, if it's 6.2, it's almost half. So I'm guessing that it would be around a $3 million debt service for 56. But I don't know because you won't tell me. What is
it? I was under the impression you'd like to talk about the total impact on the, all the debt
service.
Well, yeah,
I mean, we can add up the other bonds that I was part of too for $26 million. I mean, you know, we're still paying debt service on those too.
You still have debt to issue on the $40
million. Why don't we throw all those in there?
Sure.
I mean, the point is we're trying to make an educated decision on what we do tonight. And we need to know if we issue 56, what that impact is. We already know, because you told us in the past, what the other impacts were. So do you have a number on what the impact is over for $56 million over 20 years, or you don't?
Again, all that's been issued so far is about $6 million, the first drawer of the $40 million. I was under the impression you'd like to know what the impact is for all of the debt that would be hitting the city books, so I did it based on
everything. I never talked to you about what I would like. I'm telling you right now.
I made an assumption.
I've been here 22 years. And when a bond referendum comes before us or any other expenditure comes before us, we're given a fiscal note that gives the impact of that expenditure. We're not given a fiscal note for everything that we've done in the past and what the retiring debt. I understand big picture analysis, that's helpful, but part of that debt we're already paying now. That's been rolled into what we have to pay in our budgets. So what I'd like to know is, if we do 56, is it around $3 million? I just don't know.
Mr. President, I might be able to help clear this up a bit. So Brian, what I was looking for is, I know we'll agree that every $1 million we increase or decrease the budget in a given year, it impacts us about 10 cents.
Spread right? out over 20 years, Councilman.
No, I understand. I'm getting to that. So if this $56 million bond were to be approved by the taxpayers and we did this bond referendum over 20 years, is it fair to say if we take the $56 million on its face, divide it by 20 years, it comes up to $2.8 million per year without interest, right? Yes. I'm just trying to get to a number, because when the voters are going to vote on this, we want them to have an understanding of what they're going to be voting for.
Mm-hmm.
So on the face of the $56 million, $2.8 million per year, right? That's going to be about 28 cents per thousand, right? I'll just finish going through the numbers. Sure. That's how I see it. If anyone disagrees, fine. You all disagree.
That's on $56 million. If we get half of that.
I haven't finished.
Sorry
about
that.
That's on the $56 million. That's $343. Average home in the city of Warwick, I'm guessing, is $350,000, maybe more, maybe less. But let's use that. So that's about $343 a year. And if we get this 50% return, that cuts everything down. It cuts it down to a 14 cent increase, or about $170 a year. I think that's reasonable to assume. Now, in addition to that, you have what you're saying, the pay down of this and the pay down of that, which what number I'm projecting, I think, is probably worst case scenario, don't you think? On the $56 million. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about $40 million or $190 or anything else.
I think you're taking a very direct approach.
Yep, I am.
I went off of, again, figures that were provided by the school department, where it was not, it's not an even spread, where it was, they projected a drawdown in the first year of $3.8 million, in the second year of $11.3, third year $15.6, fourth year $13.8, and last year $11.2.
All of it paid over 20 years, right?
Yes.
You draw down in the first year $4
million. Yes.
Okay? In the second year, you draw down $6 million. The $4 million drawdown, I'm just throwing numbers, $4 million drawdown is going to be spread out over 20 years?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you another, because I think I'm clear on the numbers. I don't know if anybody else is, but I think I'm clear. And I can explain to my constituents what I think this is going to impact them. So, Brian, we put this, and the voters approve it, and they say, yes, we approve $56 million. We want to spend $46 million over 20 years. The bond is approved. If we, excuse me, on its merit of approval only, the bond has been approved by the voters for 60, 56 million or 100 million, whatever that number is, on its merit, simply by approving it, does that have any impact on us at all? None.
Correct.
Does it have any financial impact on us? Does it have any impact on our ability to borrow money?
No.
Does it have any impact on our ability to get additional bonding?
No.
Does it impact our bond rating at all?
No.
So it doesn't impact us at all until we actually draw some of the bond down, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay. So I'll leave that. I'll leave that as is.
I had a follow up when you were ready. If I could,
go ahead, Council President.
So, Brian, there's been some discussions about what we need to do and what we don't need to do. I believe the recommendation initially from the school department was to look at $79 million, and that's the proposal that they put before the Rhode Island Department of Education, at least when we were there, and what they've been looking at. My understanding is $23 million has been cut from that, which includes everything that goes to the high schools, correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. And I know that we've talked about fields before, and we've talked about the cost of building fields and some issues with the Pathways program, etc., and also rental income. So if this council was to do something with fields, are you aware of the rental income potential of turf fields in the city of Woke?
Just, I could speak from just history and from some other communities I've been in, it's negligible.
Really?
Yes.
It's negligible. Do you know that GPS is renting fields down in Narragansett and in other communities, Wheeler turf fields, they're paying over $100,000 a year for 2 days a week and some games on a weekend? Were you aware of that?
It wasn't a community I was in, no.
Okay. There are places in Rhode Island, Worldwide South, Worldwide North, here on Jefferson Boulevard, Teamworks, exploding, communities exploding, looking for field space, in particular turf fields, because you can really play in any sort of weather. And these organizations are dying for space like that. They're writing memorandums of understanding with communities. Matter of fact, did you know how East Providence got their turf field?
I do not.
Global Premier Soccer paid for the turf field. Outright wrote a check for it.
That's something we should look into.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you have conversations about it.
Sure.
If you know what you're talking about, if you do the research, I'd agree with you. If you care about the issue, if you go to the Rhode Island Department of Education, I would agree with you. If this is an issue at the top of your, at the top of your agenda to give back to the community, it, things that pay for themselves and increase the quality of life for the residents, yeah, I think you would spend a lot of time looking at issues like that. I absolutely agree with you. So just in rental income alone, you could be looking, that's one organization. You, for two fields, you could be looking at $250,000 a year in rental income. If you look at the Pathways program, and a lot of us went to that meeting up at Tollgate to listen to how students are leaving the community and how they're going to North Kingstown. I have one person that lives up in my area that's the captain of one of the teams for North Kingstown. And you'll hear Mr. Thornton tell you at one of the last meetings that we have that the people will come forward and say, hey, yeah, I want to go into the business program. But as they leave his office, they confide in others that they're leaving because they'd like to play sports and they'd like to play on artificial, you know, turf surfaces where there's not goose crap, sorry for my language, on the field that you're playing on, that it's not flooded. And now, for the first time ever, we're faced with really choices for the community. Choices where people and kids can determine that they want to go to another school. And what we heard from the school department is that Pathways program is a little over $2 million a year. And it's going to be, within a year or two, over $3 million a year to this community. Because we have to pay for when our kids leave the school system. And many of these kids have said they're leaving because of the facilities. I sat in on those meetings in 2006. I think Councilwoman Travis was the only one here around when we sat in on those bond referendum meetings. We put in $26 million back then for renovations for the field. It was frozen. When it was frozen, the mayor at the time turned around, I think it was about 5 or 6 years later, unfroze the bond money, but you'll recall we had the station nightclub fire and most of that money went to other places. Didn't go to the problems that are approaching two decades now for the city. And now we're faced with a $3 million per year debt. That's why I was asking you about the $56 million. Because even if you can save half of that at $1.5 million and bring in another two and a half, you're looking at close to a $2 million savings per year between income and keeping people from leaving the city that live here to use that Pathways program to play sports at another city or town. All you have to do is you have to look at the communities around us. Let's look at Cranston. Cranston has a turf field, a second one on the way at Cranston West. Let's look at North Kingstown, new turf field. Superintendent Thornton was the superintendent at North Kingstown when that went in. He can tell you the impact of that. Let's look at Coventry. East Greenwich, right over the border, turf field. In the city of Warwick, Hendricken, turf field. People and kids and parents, they want an all-around education for their kids. You know, when you have an event outside, whether it be a soccer game or lacrosse game or a football game, the kids want to be able to walk outside. They want to see their friends play. The athletes want to play on those fields. The cheerleaders want to go out and cheer, not be bussed around to other areas of the city where people can't get to. The first thing you see when you're deciding on a community for education is the facility itself, before you even walk in. It's the first thing you see, the outside, the fields, what it looks like, how it's cared for, how the community cares about education. That's your first impression when you walk up. We're talking about savings, and I'm talking specifically about fields, of millions of dollars where they could not only pay for themselves in a few short years with savings from pathways, with income, with possibly a 50%, and I'll ask Mr. Ferrucci about that in a minute, reimbursement for fields, depending on how you phrase it. You're looking at something that's going to pay for itself in a short time and could help out with bonding. I mean, imagine if we eliminated pathways because kids decided to stay here. We're talking about $3 million a year in today's dollars, and we know that goes up every year. That's what we're talking about. That's what Councilman Lattiso was talking about just in bond payments. We need to strike, in my opinion, now, because if you look at the other communities around us and this bond referendum, which is $1 billion, which is unheard of, that the state offered to us, offered to every community, all the other communities are gobbling that money up. And if we wait till 2022, it's probably not going to be there at a 50% reimbursement. And meanwhile, we continue to bleed our tax dollars to other communities as kids really have freedom of choice through the Pathways program. I can't tell you how many parents came up to me and have talked about the Pathways program and kids going to North Kingstown. And it's something that I have not experienced being on this council before because it wasn't an option, but it is now. I know talking to Superintendent Thornton that there is the possibility that the General Assembly may pass legislation that would give him some sort of say on whether a kid would be able to choose the Pathways program. But he'll also be quick to remind us that his decisions can be overridden by the Rhode Island Department of Education. What's important is when we went to RIDE and we talked to RIDE, what they told us. And they told us that fields were reimbursable. Everybody sat around that table. Those three gentlemen were sitting there with us when they told us that. It just depends on how you phrase it. So we're looking at also a 50% reimbursement on a $5 or $6 million investment for two fields. With half back and rental income and pathway savings. I'm fearful that if we don't put it in, we could lose that reimbursement and that money could go to other communities. We've said a number of times that, and RIDE has told us, we can make our bonding decisions, as Councilman Lattiso just talked about. We can make our bonding decisions contingent upon RIDE approval. In other words, we could get voter approval and make decisions later on that could release those bonds over time, depending on the most advantageous circumstances for the city. All this does is get it before the voters so we can take advantage of a program I haven't seen before. Have you seen that program before, Brian, where you get 50% back on bonding? I've never seen such a lucrative reimbursement program for schools. Have you?
Different communities get higher amounts. But yeah.
Higher than us?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just talking about for the city of Warwick. No. I've never seen that.
No.
And I'm very concerned that we're going to miss this opportunity, that we should amend this to include fields, and that we should give the public a right to vote on it and roll this out to the community. To me, it's a win-win for everybody. It's something that pays for itself, and it keeps our kids here in this community. I have one member that lives on my street, a friend's son, who played CYO baseball at St. Gregory, went to Continental, chose to leave Warwick and go to Hendricken because of the facilities. He then got a scholarship to Boston College and was drafted, currently plays for the New York Yankees, went up through their farm system and pitched for them. Pitched for the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium this year in the fall. And he left. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year in baseball when he left. And he left. He could have gone to Tollgate. But they chose not to go there because of the facilities. And it was run down. And, you know, people talk about our testing scores. When my family moved to Warwick in the late 60s, early 70s, it was because Tollgate was being built. My sister was in double sessions at Warwick Vets, and people were talking about the Tollgate school system. People were moving into this community for education. It rejuvenated the whole community. We were one of the top high schools in the state, public high schools in the state. That's the type of enthusiasm, that's the type of forethought that I think that we need. That not only helps the kids and the educators, but it helps the taxpayers. It increases our property values because people want to stay here. So I can't be enthusiastic enough to recommend at the appropriate time an amendment to this $56 million to include that. We can always make the decision later on if a school is going to be built, whether we put that money towards a field in a different location. From my understanding, and I'll ask Mr. Thornton to step to the mic here for a minute, the current proposal is to keep the high schools on the platforms where they are. So my understanding with regard to Pilgrim is that they bring it down to bare bones, if you will, but the construction of that complex would be where the school is now. Yeah.
To that question, I would say the consultant last week did share with us many, many different models from A to, I think, M, different models from Ohio, mm-hmm. from Europe, from South America. Some models were for new construction, item L, I believe, but a couple conversations were about rehabbing existing spaces. So we had both, but the consultant will share that with everyone on February 12th.
So Mr. Thornton, if we were to add money in to this for fields tonight, okay, would you have the flexibility and the time later on? I don't know how long it's going to take you. But if you cannot come back to this council for the 2020 bond referendum, for whatever reasons, for whatever those reasons are, you would have the money at least for the fields. If you can, that doesn't exclude you from using that money for the fields, but incorporating it right into whatever that new development is.
I would say the thing to remember here is anything that we have to get approval from had to go through RIDES phase, stage one and stage two. If memory serves, and Tony can correct me, we have $1 million per location for field upgrades. That was the extent of it. We didn't have turf delineated. So I defer to Tony, but I don't believe...
No, but I believe when we went to RIDE, we said whatever we decide to do that was different than the $79 million, RIDE would allow us to make that contingent upon their final approval. It would just get us on for the fall, correct? In particular, we were talking about that with the high school.
The struggle with the issue is we needed to have stage two updated because those conversations took place last October, and I was pushing for this kind of discussion tail end of the fall.
But they did say that, Mr. Ferrucci, correct?
But they were expecting us to do an amendment during the stage two process.
Right.
What they require by February 17th for consideration are engineering and schematic designs, which means folks would have to go out and actually site it. We would not have time to comply with that level of piece.
So my
cut to the chase is we would put that in as a separate submittal to RIDE for September 1 in the fall, and then get a decision from them the following May 2021.
Right. So
I just don't want to confuse the voters.
No, what I'm saying is
we put a bond referendum on and not have to say.
Well, what you're asking for is to have two bond referendums for schools before the voters, correct?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. And you're not going to have stage two done for the second bond referendum, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So that's going to be contingent.
That is correct.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, that's
okay.
Fine. Yep.
So the second bond referendum is going to be contingent also. So what I'm saying is even if we put money in for fields and made it the first bond referendum contingent, RIDE would look at that and make decisions. Don't forget, these bonds are going to be phased in over 5 years. So that doesn't have to be in the first rollout, if you will, of the bond referendums. What I am concerned about and what I have experienced is that although we'd like to think that we could move that fast and get it to the General Assembly in time for them to give serious consideration for a second bond referendum, that doesn't happen. Let's make that assumption. Then we've lost the opportunity to get a contingent agreement for fields. We've lost the opportunity to possibly keep some of those pathway students in Warwick. We've lost the opportunity to get a possible 50% reimbursement, and we've lost the opportunity for rental income. And so this isn't, fields are unique in that other parts of the bond referendum that we go out to for windows, that doesn't generate income. Windows don't generate income. Fields do. And so that's why I think that if we put that on, that's that $5 or $6 million now, we can certainly incorporate those concepts, those get approval from RIDE subject to their approval. In the second bond referendum. But if we don't do it, and you can't get it before us, or it doesn't have support from others, then we've lost that opportunity. So my question is, if this council amended that bond referendum, would you have any objection to us giving you additional dollars?
I would bring it back to the billing committee and through the school committee, but I would see no objection. I think it's a worthy cause.
Okay.
Again, my only reservation is RIDE's interpretation of our bond phase two, stage two application. I am fearful that they say we're going to delay that decision and roll it all into one package.
I think we
want $56 million approved by RIDE
right.
come May, and that's my only
yeah,
real reservation. So that's
so what I get to is that what RIDE had said to us when we were there, and that the package before RIDE right now is not $56 million.
Correct. It's
the package is $79 million.
Correct.
Okay. So that's, to me, significant And it gives us an opportunity to give money to the community and bring in, as I said, not to repeat myself, revenue, etc. So I thank you for your input, and I thank you for your time this fall and keeping us updated this fall and going with us to the Rhode Island Department of Education, because I don't remember the council and the school committee members, school committee member, Chairwoman Backus came with us too, I remember. And I just thought it was a great collaborative effort to try and figure out what's best for the community. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, Mr. Ferrucci, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So, the bond request before RIDE at this time is for $79 million.
That's correct.
You haven't altered that or changed it or done any administrative paperwork. Nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. It's $79
million. That's correct. And the premise behind that is that they have the same package you have in front of them today. And so after this evening's meeting, if we have the affirmative to the 56, we would just notify them to extract the high school pieces. But in the meantime, the architects and engineers have done all the schematic designs, have answered all the questions on all of the projects. So that's where I'm just slightly concerned that if I introduce, because there's no turf fields in here at this point, if we're going to piggyback that application going into May, I just don't want them to say it's an all or nothing review. I would see this as a separate initiative, but then I don't want to confuse the voters if we're going to have a $63 million bond voting, of which 56 is approved by RIDE and 7 million we'll wait and see if they give us the approval the following spring. That's the only confusion I don't want to present to the voters. And that's why I'm cautious about it. But it would not fit with underneath the $79 million. We don't have the time to get them the level of detail that they're looking for to make a decision come May. That's going to be their pushback to us. And that's my concern.
Okay. Councilman McAllister.